Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of TFMetalsReport.com. Now, Craig, when it comes to precious metals, I just got back from a conference from this week, and as I've reported, the attitude was fairly depressed, I would say. Not surprising in many respects, and attendance was definitely on the low side. I was a little surprised by people that are usually quite bullish in the sector saying that we could be in for 6+ months of kind of downward, boring pressure on the sector. Really feels like this whole summer doldrums, which precious metals investors know fairly well, might be here pretty early. Last couple of years, we didn't get those summer doldrums. The market was still fairly active. This year, summer might be starting early. What are you seeing in the market right now when it comes to precious metals, Craig?
All right. Well, I promise I won't go all contrarian on you and say, oh, there's a sign, right? Because it does stink. This has been a brutal month. It was a month ago yesterday, the 18th, that gold was over 2,000 briefly and silver is up 2,650 and silver fell $6 in a month. A lot of it's going to depend on how fast we can get the stock market to collapse. I think ultimately that is your Powell pivot driver. That's how it's worked in the past. The last three times that the Fed has tried to stop barking about, you know, how hawkish they're going to be, whether it was early 2016 or late 2018 or, you know, going into COVID and all that kind of stuff in 2020, the stock market fell all the way down to its 200-week moving average, at least for the S&P. That's still another 10% down from here. So if that's what it's going to take, we might as well get it on and get it over with and get the Fed to shift gears. That'll be the key. How long that takes to get there will depend upon how long we got to stick in our doldrums.
Yeah, Craig, it may be nice just to go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off, as they say, and get it over with. But let's just say that doesn't happen and it's just more of a prolonged slog where we just kind of grind through it. Are there any levels you're watching as support in gold or silver?
Well, it's been an unfriendly way down. I guess we go into this week's close. Everybody should be watching $22 in silver pretty closely. In fact, I think the intraday high today was remarkably $21.99. 22 has been a key level multiple times in the last decade plus. But in the last, well, since, you know, we really got things cooking in July of 2020, silver has been kind of flagging and consolidating sideways, butting up against 28 as resistance and also finding pretty strong support at 22. It has dipped intra-week below 22 a couple of times and then quickly rebounded the next day. Well, last week when it fell below 22, it remained below 22 and closed the week below 22. So if you're going to turn that into like a false breakdown, then we need to close tomorrow, Friday, the 20th, back above 22. Otherwise, the door remains open for silver to fall further. I mean, we talked about this last week, maybe a brief dip below 20 even. So we'll want to watch tomorrow's close for the July contract pretty closely. Again, we need to get that baby up over 22. In gold, we're approaching the June contract going off the board and into delivery. You know, that's the current front month. Next week is expiration week. We'll have option expiration on Wednesday at the COMEX close. And then the contract will go off the board and into delivery on Friday the 27th. And the reason for that is Monday the 30th is a U.S. holiday of Memorial Day and the markets are closed. So it'll be volatile next week. There's always kind of a natural selling pressure that comes with the move toward the contract going off the board. Key level we'll want to watch, we've been dabbling with it all day, is the 200-day moving average. I know a lot of people look at spot, they look at the continuous contract, all that kind of stuff. But to me, it's always about the front month. That's where the trading and the volume and everything else is. That thing today, as we record this, is $18.40.70. And I invite anybody to pull up an intraday chart of the June contract, and you'll see how prices oscillated around that level. It may not mean much. We'll see what next week brings, but we can get a weekly close above that 200-day moving average. That would kind of help too. So double barrel, get silver over 22 in the close tomorrow, get gold above 1841, and maybe we'll feel like we're closer to a bottom than we think.
Maybe we just need some positive price action, right? But we are getting some decent price action, at least today. That being said, you mentioned that the U.S. markets, we need to just see how quickly those will crash to force that Fed pivot. What about the U.S. dollar or the bond market? Both the U.S. dollar and yields are moving down today, but it has been one of those issues with the dollar high and yields off their highs, but still right around 3% for the 10-year. That's caused pressure for the metals as well.
Yeah, you know, here's an interesting thing to watch. Caught my eye yesterday, some mentions about the G7 meeting, which is either just beginning or this weekend. Not necessarily ready to do another Plaza Accords like 1985, but that maybe some of these other G7 countries are a little sick of watching their currencies go in the toilet versus the dollar. Interesting that now all of a sudden the dollar index is down a point today. Something to watch over the weekend. You know, if the dollar index could trade back down below 102.5, which is the lows from 2 weeks ago, okay, maybe people will start talking about maybe a top being in. That would obviously help. Bond market is kind of getting a bid for two reasons. One, a safe haven bid because of, you know, what's going on in the stonk market. But then also, there's this kind of an expectation of recession at this point. Yeah, you got Powell and his goons out there talking about how strong the economy is, but it's not. And we've got some more weak indicators here today on Thursday. The Philly Fed was unbelievably way below expectations. Jobless claims starting to trend higher again. And so if the bond market begins to sniff out, you know, that next move toward recession and easing and all that kind of stuff, then it may catch a sustained bid as well. We've been arguing, you know, the three of us have been talking about it now for months about the Fed never going to hike in a sustained enough manner that they're going to get the Fed funds rate above the rate of inflation. They're just not. And maybe the bond market might be sniffing that out finally, too. When they do, you know, then it's pretty clear that real rates are staying negative, and then that'll bleed over to gold. But for now, I think that's helping the bond market, and that's helping gold get its footing, too.
Yeah, and the dollar, like you said, can either be a headwind or tailwind for gold. They can move in tandem. They don't have to be inversely related, but if the dollar's pulling back, that helps. And then obviously interest rates in the bond market are probably one of the key drivers of the gold market, so definitely need to keep tabs on that. As we head into next week, you keep pretty close tabs on some of the key metrics and news coming out in the economic sphere. Anything that's catching your eye next week as far as reports or data that we should have our eyes out for?
Yeah, you know, it always gets volatile as we get toward the latter part of the month. One, because there's always at least the one COMEX gold or silver contract going off the board, and that brings volatility in its own right. Next week, we'll have some interesting economic data. Durable goods is in there early in the week, and so that'll give you some idea, you know, if that starts to slip, manufacturing, you know, starts to slip, then maybe that'll be another kind of early stage recession indicator. The minutes to the FOMC meeting will already be due. I mean, that'll already have been 3 weeks. And, you know, those will get picked apart on Wednesday afternoon because everybody will want to know, you know, 75 basis points. They talk about 75 basis points. Maybe they're talking about 75 basis points. Were they talking about, you know how that'll go. And then Friday ought to be a pretty volatile morning. Again, that June contract goes off the board. We will be heading into a three-day weekend here in the U.S., start of summer. So every bank trader on their trading desk in New York City is going to want to get all their stuff done and get the hell out of there before noon so they can get on the Long Island Expressway and head out to the Hamptons and beat the traffic. And as that's happening, we get the Fed's, what they call the Fed's favorite inflation indicator next Friday, PCE and core PCE. Those numbers are down more like 5% because, you know, they take out anything that's actually going up. But nonetheless, you know, with all the attention on CPI every month, that PCE is always a big number too. And again, that'll be next Friday before the start of this three-day weekend. So you can kind of expect volatility to ramp up as we get into Tuesday and then into Wednesday with the minutes and then all that stuff on Friday. It'll be a volatile week. And again, we just hope we can get some continued help from the dollar and the bond market so that maybe prices can continue to stabilize.
And it feels like every week is a volatile week this year.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the volatility to the downside, too, that whole buy the dip mentality does not seem to be in these markets anymore. Still a lot of people seemingly building up cash. At least we didn't seem to have a ton of margin calls maybe come in this week. But again, that's just the environment we are in, right? Everyone's watching the Fed. Everyone's wondering how much longer they're going to hike for. And everyone is also wondering just how much lower and quicker the U.S. markets are going to go. Those continue to be the main focus, rightfully so. As you correctly said, approach summer right now. Craig, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. I know that you're away next week, so we'll chat in 2 weeks, and it'll be a new month then, so let's see where we stand. Thanks for your time, Craig.
You bet, guys.